For so many parents, they hear the word from the teacher or they wonder it themselves. I think my child has ADHD. How do I know? What do I do? We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and special guest with us every day this week, Dr. Monica Schulke. Welcome. And you do a lot of testing on children for ADHD. And
I'd say the majority of the kids that come into me, there's some thought of them having ADHD. Somebody has said they have ADHD, they have an attention problem. And maybe they do, but there are a million things that could be going on. You know, there are a lot of reasons that a kid could be off task or be wiggling in their seat.
What's maybe the first encouraging thing you tell a mom who's coming in and she's just kind of beside herself? Like, I don't even want to be here because I can't believe this is happening to my child. And I just need to know that my child is going to be okay. What do you tell them?
The bottom line is, no matter what the issue is, there's a solution. We just need to know what the issue is. And just like if I see a kid coughing, it could be a million different things. It could be choking. They could have pneumonia. They could be have a cold. They could have bronchitis. But I have to know before, mm-hmm. you know, or a physician would have to know before treating it. The same thing if I see a kid, you know, who's off task or wiggling in a seat or playing with his pencil, looking around, the teacher redirects him and he snaps at her. Well, it could be ADHD. It could be an attention problem, but chances are it probably isn't. There, you know, it could be a behavioral issue. It could be anxiety. It could be a learning disability. But
boredom.
I have to know. Could be boredom.
It could be very poor teaching skills on part of some teachers.
It could be any of those things. And so, but knowing what it is will guide us.
One of the more difficult things is for a parent to find out that it's not ADHD, that it's their parenting style.
Oh, yes.
Because so often it's not my fault, right? He's got this. Mm-hmm. He's got this malady that then is a justification for what we're dealing with here. And then should we make the next step? Should we go to a behavioral plan or a medication plan or all those other decisions long before we even know? And I would agree with you. So many children are referred here to Sheridan House and we see that diagnosis by somebody or the reference in a school file 2 years running. Of course, the first teacher that puts it in there, the next teacher already immediately either puts him in the back of the room, worst place for the child to be or whatever.
Absolutely.
Making the assumption, I've already lost this child before I've got this child. Now, let me hasten to say, teachers are definitely the warriors of this generation. Mm-hmm. What we ask them to do is inconceivable, and what we pay them to do it is pathetic, and what we turn loose on them. But when a parent comes and says, I think my child has ADHD or ADD, and can we get some testing? A lot of times they're just looking for the excuse for the behavior rather than dealing with the behavior. And as you said, Monica, it all can be dealt with. And I watched my mom change some expectations she had because my parents were major readers. My dad had a massive library that we gave to the Broward County Library System when he died. I mean, none of us could take all those books.
Wow. And
his dream was that we would all be sitting around, you know, with our Coke bottle glasses reading. He just didn't have those boys. And as I found out later in life, he was not that boy. But he got there. But we have this, as a parent, we have this dream of what parenting is going to be like, and then dream of what our child's going to be like, and how they're going to be such an asset rather than a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to be a challenge from birth on. But sometimes it helps to go through the testing and go through the explanation and get some answers, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And again, if it is ADHD, then there are ways to treat it. And I think a lot of people like the ADHD diagnosis because it's ADHD, you can give medicine, and medicine is typically a quick fix. And the fact of the matter is, if it is truly ADHD, medicine will work and it's a great plan, but it won't work for every kid who has an attention problem because there's so many reasons you could have an attention problem. Mm-hmm. If you're not managing sounds, if you have an auditory processing issue, you're not going to be a good listener by design, but it's like people speaking a different language. Why would you listen? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a room with people speaking a completely different language, you tune out too. All the medicine in the world won't help you with that.
Yeah.
But medicine does work for some kids, and so it's a quick fix and you see results if that's truly what the issue is.
What about a lot of the parents who just don't even want to go there? Not even, I don't want to medicate my child, but I'm losing it.
Most parents I see will come in with that. Some parents are just done and they're at their wit's end and they're ready. It's like,
I don't even care if he's not ADHD. Medicate him, yes.
And that's an interesting point that you bring up because some parents want that anyway. And for some kids, medicine will make them sit there and try harder because that's what the medicine is designed to do. However, it doesn't work for every kid and it doesn't solve the core problem if there's something other than just an attention problem. But But let's say it is true blue ADHD, then, you know, there are basically two ways to treat ADHD. There's therapy or behavioral type strategies, and there's medicine. And, mm-hmm. and usually they work together really well. There are accommodations in school, which we'll talk about, you know, in time, what to do in school for a child who has ADHD, because school is not designed. Traditional schooling is not typically designed for the ADHD kid, where they have to sit in a room for 7 hours and 40 minutes and pay attention.
With 25 other kids fidgeting.
Yes. And pencils just, dropping oh, and oh. people
and
knocking on the door.
Now, cell phones. Elementary.
It's just really not designed for that. And they have to listen. And, you know, the key thing is, can they, you talked about boredom. If you don't have a problem with attention, you can still pay attention when it's boring. That's how you know. I mean, everybody can pay attention when it's interesting. Every parent of a child with ADHD will say, well, they can play video games.
Oh, they can sit in front of a television forever.
Absolutely. But that's designed to keep their attention. And the things switch every 8 seconds or less to kind of keep you engaged. That's what it's designed to do. Real life isn't like that. Real mm-hmm. life is sitting in a classroom and listening, and they take away their recess, or that's how they get reprimanded for not doing their work. Then they lose recess, which is where the, you know, so there
which
are
is,
things.
Which is probably the worst thing you can do
with
this child.
Yes.
I need to run.
Absolutely.
I need to get,
get out there.
I need to get out of school and get home before I do anything. I know I'm behind and I have to let me run. Let mm-hmm. me go do anything there is to do. It's a huge challenge. And unfortunately, and you went down that road, there are some parents that would rather go the medication route first just to fix it rather than go the behavioral route. And let's see how we can work with this child. You and I were talking off air about the number of leaders and presidents mm-hmm. of the United States that had ADHD. Vast majority. Well, they're multitaskers.
Absolutely.
And they've learned to make the most of it, keeping it up in the air. And they
because
found
they like it.
Well, mm-hmm. there is a rush to it. There is no mm-hmm. doubt about that. But they've learned that I'm not going into a meeting for 4 hours. That's not going to work. But somebody else is managing the meeting. As a leader, as a president of the United States, I go in for 15 minutes and listen and say, okay, this is what we're doing. Leave. Now you guys make it happen. It works. And people with true ADHD, non-medicated, have to learn the system that works for you. I carry this card and write things down. The card's always with me.
I've had
a friend say, actually the pastor who founded this radio station made the statement, when you die, there's going to be a Lucite plaque on the wall with your card and your pen. That's what we'll remember you by, your card and your pen. Because I know when you ask me to do something, if I don't write it down right now, it's never going to get. I mean, I had cards printed up for me.
So all mm-hmm. your shirts have pockets.
All my shirts have pockets. Dorky, I know. I wish you hadn't said it on the radio, because I want people to think I'm cool on the radio and you said that. All my shirts have, or whatever, have pockets. But it's manageable once you know what you're dealing with, rather than I quit mm-hmm. and other people quit on you. But yes, I would say this is a huge self-diagnosis.
Absolutely. And it really doesn't have to be a curse. Like you said, it's about knowing what it is, whether it's ADHD or something else, and then putting the things in place to make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing about leaders who have this ADHD brain, they usually surround themselves with people who can do the details, mm-hmm. who are doing the little things yeah. for them, because they know that they can't. But you have to acknowledge that you don't have that ability, or it's not your gift.
You have to be willing to let go.
Absolutely.
Yes. When back before either of you were born, actually. I was talking to the editor-in-chief at Tyndall House Publishers, Dr. Hawley, and they were challenging me, before I'd written any books, they were challenging me to write a book. And I said, I can't imagine writing a book. And he knew me by then. He'd come to a couple things I was speaking at, and we got to hang, and he kind of became a mentor for me. And he said, well, I don't want you to write a book. I just want you to write a chapter. Mm-hmm. And don't make it a long chapter. Just write a chapter and get us the chapter. Just give me one chapter. And I'd get him the chapter, and he'd call up and say, this chapter is amazing. Of course, when he'd send it back to me, I realized he fixed the whole chapter. But this chapter is amazing. Give me another chapter. And give me. And he would just coax 10 pages out of me, not 300, mm-hmm. because 300 were not possible. Staying on mm-hmm. the same task for 300 pages. Tell me to leap to the moon. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. But 10 pages and then 10 pages and then 10 pages. And then that's doable for this person. Once I know, once somebody's helped me know, okay, this isn't a defiance that mm-hmm. we're dealing with. This is
that's
ADHD.
Huge. Yeah. But the child is going to get a science project that they have to do, or they're going to get a big project. So knowing how to break down the project, how to make it manageable, because the child sees this huge thing in front of them and they drown in it. You can drown in a glass of water.
I can't do it.
It's done. So why bother? Mm-hmm. You know.
So a mom who knew, my mom who'd been taught how to do this, had me read 10 pages out loud, and I read 10 pages out loud, and she showed me how much time. She timed it on her watch. Mm-hmm. This is how long it takes you. So every Tuesday night, it's 2 months before the book report's due, every Tuesday night, I want you to come and sit and read 10 pages to me. And for me, it had to be out loud because, if I didn't do it out loud, I wouldn't be doing it at all. And so I do it out loud while she's finishing the dishes or whatever, and she's listening, and all of a sudden, I read a book. You're kidding me. I read a book. Of course, I'm in my doctoral program, but I finally read a book. No. I was in elementary school. I read a book, and watching her get it. Okay, he's not defiant. He's learned to be a little sneaky, but he's learned to be sneaky because he can't imagine reading a book. But I read 10 pages. Yeah. And we'd have a chart, and we'd check off the chart because I read a chapter.
She motivated you through it.
She motivated me through it, but she also, in a manner of speaking, carried me a little bit. Mom, I can't read a book. I don't want you to read a book. I never want you to read a book. Just read this 10 pages. We know how long it takes you to read 10 pages. And after the 10 pages, she would always say, okay, tell me a little bit about it. So I know I had to tell her what I was doing. I learned how to read because of that. Mm-hmm. And so that helped. And for this ADHD child, especially in the reading area, because I would read a chapter and a paragraph and realize, I don't even know what I just read.
Right.
I went someplace else. And so two things had to happen. And one was she'd have to ask me what it was about. And, okay, I just want you to write a sentence on those 10 pages. Once I write it down, I got it. It's not working in my ears, but it is working with my hands. Here's the other thing that was a life changer. My mom dies. I'm in high school. My mom dies. I'm done with reading. And all of a sudden, I meet this woman named Rosemary on a campus who's a reader, huge reader. And she realizes I'm not, and I'm gasping. And the whole thing I went to college for, the sports thing didn't work, and I was horrible. I'm not making any team. It's not happening. And she works to make me academic while she's leading me to Christ and hands me Neville Schutt's book, On the Beach. I was about the end of the world. And I didn't know books were like this. She hands me a high interest read rather than the academic read. Mm-hmm. And so my first book ever was On the Beach. My second book was Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is in books. You're kidding me. And I'm going to my 8 a.m. bloodshot because for the first time in my life, I'm staying up late reading. But God sent these people to feed the way I needed interest. I need the interest. This isn't interesting. They want me to read the chapter on biology 101. You're kidding me, right? Who cares about phylums? I don't even know what a phylum is. In fact, if you don't stop, I'm going to go to an insane phylum. Help me out. It's discovering what it really is. And that's what the testing does. Right. And then, no, it's not rushing off to the pharmacist. It's let's see how we work
how
with this first.
How can we work through this? And I think you said an amazing point in terms of...
Wait a minute. Did you say that again? I just want to hear that Dr. Schulke said, Bob Barnes said an amazing thing.
Bob Barnes said an amazing thing.
See, you're kind of being my mom here now.
You're fueling the whole idea.
Yes, I have needs.
Now I forgot the amazing point.
Wow, this is horrible. Please remember my amazing point.
Getting your child to read anything, as long as you're comfortable with the content, they can read comic books, they can read magazines, if they're really into baseball, if they're really into sports, whatever it is, as long as the content is safe, getting them to read, they're still reading, they're still getting the material.
The Christian community, and this is going to rub people the wrong way, this comment, had a really, really hard time with Harry Potter books. Mm-hmm. And they were the same kind of books that was okay a while back because there's something going on in there with the wand thing. Mm-hmm. And then watching our kids here, and it was controversial here. We had a meeting on it. The Christian community, and it was my daughter who got in my face on this one. And
for the children's homes you're talking
about. Yeah. And she said, Dad, you're making a comment and you haven't even read the books. Right. I said, okay, I'm reading the books. And the books were an amazing read. Mm-hmm. They were an amazing read. And these little kids, and the books were very anti-adult, I will say that, an anti-authority figure. I didn't find anything with the weird wizards. If I were to say anything, it was very anti-authority, very anti-adult, and the kids save the universe. But what kind of books are kids going to read? Mm-hmm. And watching our boys, it's the first book some of them ever read. Mm-hmm. And then going from there to the C.S. Lewis Narnia books and the C.S. Mm-hmm. Lewis Space Trilogy books, where we finally put, now the little girls weren't hard to get to read, but we finally put in the boys' hands something. ADHD is a reality for some. The percentage is much, much, much less lower than we possibly want to believe because it justifies things for some people. However, having said that, once we get the test and once we know, okay, this is your child, it's not go the pharmacology route instantly. It's what else can we do? And for Barnes, there were some things that came together when they gave me some high interest, they gave me some praise, and they gave me a win. I can win at this. Mm-hmm. I'm not an idiot. I can win. And a parent who gets this plays such a huge part in the success of this child.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes and Dr. Monica Schulke from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to find out more about these boys and girls homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries, go online to shfm.org. You'll find a bunch of other resources there to help you in your parenting, and all the proceeds support the children's homes. Or you can support the homes directly by sending a two-letter text that will add $10 to your cell phone bill and send it straight to the children's homes. Just text the letters SH and send it to 41518. And to hear this program, I Think My Child Has ADHD, all over again, you can find it online at parentingonpurpose.org. You can ask questions, comment, share with other parents who may be dealing with the same situation too. Tomorrow, we'll continue this topic of understanding my child's lack of performance here on Parenting on Purpose.